From the many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting, this is episode 52 of The Rolling Restart, a World of Warcraft podcast for you, for me, and for my guest co-host this week. He's a guildmaster 10 times over that's seen his fair share of in-game menus. Most of his days are for the dogs, but he's always excited to talk about what's going on tonight! He just moved to California and is constantly followed by Guy Fieri. His best friend Thist calls him Hard Harry Crane, but what most people don't know is that he's actually a wizard that lives in a pink room with bootleg Japanese Hello Kitty black market merchandise all over the walls that he covers with a blanket. From the Convert to Raid command post in Sacramento, California, or possibly from a department store that he's been trapped in for 2 weeks now. And from the Battle.net news, it's Pat Crane. Hi, Pat.
Wow, that was amazing. Hello. Hi, Ro. Nice to be talking to you, buddy.
It's good to talk to you, too. And props to Thist from Legging Balls and the Battle.net news for helping me out with that intro. Because one thing that some people might not know, that like the magic behind the intros, is I usually just stalk people on Twitter.
Sure.
And a lot of my co-hosts tweet quite a bit. One thing I've noticed about your Twitter habits is that you retweet a lot.
Sure.
But you really have to dig to find those nuggets of information. So this knows far more about you than I think anyone should probably legally know.
Well, and it's funny too, because I mean, you like a lot of people tweet their kind of their stream of consciousness, right? And they're just kind of going through and they're like reacting to the day's news, and especially recently we saw a bunch of people reacting to some kind of disappointing news, and I'm like, no, you know what, I'm gonna hold back, and I'm gonna just not say exactly what's on my mind quite yet until I know, because you know, sometimes you change your mind, you give it 24 48 hours and you're like, you know what, okay, I've changed my mind a little bit. So
yeah, and you know, that can definitely apply not just to recent events with multiple Blizzard games. It can definitely apply to World of Warcraft. I mean, when some announcement gets made, like a WoW Q&A happens or a patch hits the table, and a lot of us can have gut reactions within the first 24 hours of finding out about something. And I'm very guilty of this. There have been a lot of things where a change will happen. I'll just discover about it or hear about it, and I'll be like, why they'd have to do that? Blah, blah, blah. It was fine just the way it is. Changing this is just terrible. They don't know their player base, blah, blah, blah. A lot of this talk is in my head because I rarely ever say this stuff openly on Twitter because I don't want to be attracted to the flames. But I'm just like any other player out there. If I see a change that I don't like, I'm going to get a bit crazy about it. And then you give it a few days, you give it a week, or you even give it a few months, and you realize, you know what, that just really wasn't that big a deal at all.
Right. It wasn't big enough of a game changer for me to be ranting online about it. And plus, like what you said, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, you're kind of contributing to the noise, especially the negative factor. Mm-hmm. You don't want to necessarily do that, especially if, I mean, for like guys like us, we love the game. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have shows about, the wonderful Blizzard games that we play. And so it becomes kind of a thing where you want to be sure critiquing it is fine, but really what's most important to me are my dogs and baking cookies with my wife. Really?
I missed that from the intro. Dang it. You did tweet about cookies though. That is true.
I did. They were delicious.
Well, if you ever make any mint chocolate chip cookies, feel free to send them over. I know you may have to triple wrap them in saran wrap, but mint chocolate chip cookies are my
best. All right. Copy that. It's on the list.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think a lot of what we just mentioned is going to kind of play into just some of the discussion that I want to have this week. First off, for people listening to this on Christmas Day, Merry Christmas to you, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, whatever holiday you are celebrating this kind of year,
I mean, really, you got to say Merry Wintervale or Happy Wintervale. I'm not sure which.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Wintervale is just getting started as we're recording this. I don't know if they're doing anything new this year in Wintervale. There's probably a new toy or something, I would imagine.
Probably, yeah. I haven't heard of anything.
Right. I'm sure WoWhead and MMO Champion will be all over that. And
Yeah,
I'll probably unwrap it underneath the tree on the next to last day of Wintervale just before it's about to leave.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So not only is it the holidays, but December 25th, 2 years ago, was the first day of this podcast. So this is basically the second year anniversary of the show.
Awesome. Congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been cool to do a podcast as just specifically about WoW. Having, you know, my other show expand and cover all Blizzard games is fun, and it's pretty much always going to stay that way. But after a while, I wanted to spend some time to just talk about WoW, because, you know, that was my first love, I think, with Blizzard, and I'm always going to have a passion for it, regardless of how much people, including myself, may be complaining and griping about Azerite this and Azerite that. But I wanted to take this week to kind of just look back at 2018, just look at the big picture, take a look at, you know, where the game went and just how we're consuming it, how we're playing it, how we feel about the game. Because it's one thing to just focus in on the most recent events and, you know, Azerite changes, Azerite armor, people already looking forward to 8.2 before 8.1 is done.
Right. But
you look at the whole big picture, and I mean, several months ago, Battle for Azeroth just started its alpha in February. It moved into beta in April. 8.0 becomes a thing in July, launches in August, and we just got our first major content patch days ago. That's summing up the year in a nutshell, but I feel, Pat, and I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on it, just the amount of investment that we've had in this game and how much we've enjoyed this game. It's been a bit of a roller coaster ride, I would say, for myself through 2018. How involved have you been in the game, would you say, throughout the course of the year?
Pretty much, I've been very involved with a lot of everything except for the rating side of it, because of life changes and because I moved and all this kind of stuff. I had to kind of step back a little bit from all of the rating stuff. And so, but I've been very involved with thinking about it and talking with others that are going through it. And of course, with the guild, I have to deal with raiders on a daily basis. So, but it has been a roller coaster. You're right. And if you look back, even before Alpha, you had 735 that hit in January of last year. And that was when we saw the new scaling tech hit and, you know, time walking and other stuff, too. But I mean, that was kind of like some big, you know, before
Allied races and all that.
Right. And so, I mean, it was kind of like the big patch before the rest of Battle for Azeroth could even come along. So it was actually pretty cool. And I'm trying to think of, like, we didn't know necessarily a ton before Battle for Azeroth hit. I mean, we knew some of these things, and we knew that Azerite armor might be a problem towards the end of beta. But I mean, it was just kind of like coming off of Legion, which was such a big boon for, I think, all of the player base, you know, just really, the players seem to love it a lot, or at least most of it, and they seem to be really happy with it. And then to have Battle for Azeroth come in and people go, huh. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're in for something different now.
Yeah, WoW seems to have somewhat of an interesting cadence when it comes to the high points and the low points with expansions. Now, I just say this from my personal point of view, and other people may disagree with this. I mean, I know people who have said that, like, Warlords is their favorite expansion, or Cataclysm was a high moment for them. And mind you, those people are few and far between. But from what I've noticed, just, and this is really my opinion, but I think a lot of people share it, it's like one expansion, they get it, and then the next expansion, they stumble a little, and then they learn from that, and then they have a great expansion after that. I mean, a lot of people would say that Lich King was strong, Cataclysm not so much, Mists of Pandaria, there were a lot of people that liked it, but it received a mixed reaction as well. Warlords of Draenor kind of took a dive, Legion is awesome, and now here we are with BFA, and I think I want to say that one reason why the overall response seems a bit more muted compared to the launch of Legion is because in Battle for Azeroth, I feel that we're seeing echoes of a lot of the systems and mechanics and stuff that we were introduced with Legion. Like, Legion set a bar right. so high, and Battle for Azeroth is continuing that, but it doesn't, at least by the perception of myself and I would think others, it doesn't try to go above that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it didn't try to improve on the system that were the systems that were in place in Legion necessarily, because when you take a look at the artifact weapon versus Azerite armor, mm-hmm. Azerite armor is in concept kind of similar. However, it's less glitzy, right?
Yeah.
It's way less glitzy. Not only do you not get a cool thing that you can show off to people, but you also get fewer cool abilities and, you know, OP-ness of just kind of in general, because you don't feel as powerful. You actually, it's kind of weird because with the Azerite armor, you almost feel a little bit more pegged into a certain play style, and it's just, it's kind of weird, right?
Right. And I think their idea and concept of trying to split it up into three pieces was interesting on paper, in that you would feel that it gives you a little more flexibility, like having three pieces, each with their own set of abilities and stuff, means more combinations of choices, more flexibility in playstyle and such like that. And I applaud the developers anytime they try to do something to give us choices and options in this game.
Right.
Talent trees, you know, have gone through so many iterations from the early days of Classic, where and they kind of refined that and tuned that up. And some people would say that, like, the artifact system in Legion, and to a lesser degree, Azerite stuff, is almost like mini talent trees, really.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think one of the most challenging things that the developers have when they're trying to think of progression models for endgame is that there's always going to be that group out there that figures out what's the best possible configuration of stuff, and then they put that out there. The simulation is done. The sites say, you know, you have these guides written by these great players saying which specs are the top, which are the bottom, which talents do you take, which Azerite traits do you go after. And then instead of all this flexibility, you have people pegged into this philosophy and this thought that there is one best configuration, one best setup to go for, and trying to acquire that set becomes this frustrating kind of mind-numbing journey for many people.
Right. And what I always say is that what works for those guys that are in the top 1% of the player base does not affect you. It should not affect you as much as you think it should. If you're not with these mythic teams fighting through all of this stuff, as my dog barks in the background, as we kind of fight through this content and try to figure it all out, everybody just needs to chill a little bit on the 0.5% gain that you may see because you chose all of your talents correctly, or all of your Azerite things correctly, according to some other source, you know?
Yeah. One of the biggest lessons that I learned in this first part of Battle for Azeroth is, as long as you're not a Mythic Raider, and even if you're a Mythic Raider, but as long as you're not pushing for World First, it's okay to raid as a Shadow Priest. It really is.
Right.
I did it. I'm 7 out of 8 now in Noldir, and hoping to get Gahoon down before, you know, we do the whole Battle for Dazar lore stuff. But
awesome.
Yes, there are specs that aren't going to be in the top 25%, because that bottom 75% has to exist. That doesn't mean that the bottom 75% aren't possibly fun to play. And I've found Shadow Priest to be fun to play. Is it beating Hunts the Wind in DPS numbers? Heck no, it isn't, but that's fine.
That's what teams are for. That's why you have a team of people playing all sorts of different specs, because you want a little bit of variety, and you need some of those other tool sets that those other characters can provide. And sometimes it's just not like, you don't want to play a hunter. Cool. Well, now you can play a Shadow Priest and be just fine. It's okay. It's kind of funny though. I was looking around because you asked me to do this year in review. So I decided that I would take a look at an article from January 3rd, 2018. It's it's a PC Gamer article. And it talked about a bunch of the stuff that was planning on coming up, you know, coming out of BlizzCon, talking about all the announcements that were made and what they thought would happen with Battle for Azeroth, and talking about some of these specific things. And toward the end of the article, it actually talked about artifact weapons versus Azerite armor. And I just thought that this was kind of funny, because the last sentence was, Azerite armor, while the spiritual successor to artifact weapons, thankfully sounds less like the exhaustingly infinite grind than the latter was. So they were saying that Azerite armor would not be as grindy. Okay.
We knew then.
Since we were talking about it, I just thought I'd bring it up now, because I laughed very thoroughly because of that.
No, that's great. It kind of makes me think of a question. Going back to the beginning of the year, know, it being a couple months removed from the announcement of Battle for Azeroth, from that point to launch, what were your thoughts? What were your hopes about Battle for Azeroth? What did you think we were going to get? I will say quickly for myself, I thought that this whole red versus blue Horde for Alliance thing, that we were going to get deep into it. And I'm not saying that we haven't. In some ways, we have. I felt that like the whole faction rivalry was going to be a much bigger thing than it has been in the opening months.
Yeah, I think that the red versus blue has kind of played out the way that I thought it would, especially after we knew what was happening with PvP, just being able to turn it on and off, the world PvP stuff. And so I kind of knew what it would mean for me anyway. And that is, let's turn it on for a little bit and see what happens. And then once I get comfortable, I'll just turn it off and I'll be fine.
So you don't run with war mode on too often.
Well, I also play Alliance. So, you know, we've been underrepresented in a lot of different places, and I've heard horror stories, and the sign of my first ganking, really, my first clobbering, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to turn it off. We'll be fine.
Really quick as an aside here, because 8.1, they've added in that bonus for like the side that's underrepresented Alliance, is going to get a boost for their war mode bonus when having it turned on. Is that too little too late, or do you feel compelled to give it another shot?
I may give it another shot, but it's not because of the bonuses.
Okay.
I think it would be, I think the reason that I would give it a shot is because if that means that that both sides can be fairly equal once again, then that's awesome. So I'm all for that. And if that's the case, then fine. But for the most part, I'm also not really a PvP person. Mm-hmm. So I don't play a lot of PvP. I enjoy it. But on my main, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't make any sense. If I was on a hunter or a warrior or another one that where I felt comfortable in PvP with, then that would be something different. But when I'm on a druid, I just feel like sneaking around, and I don't even want to fight the mobs.
I will say that one thing that I've noticed as far as like just not fighting mobs go is the whole... One of the bigger surprises for me out of this expansion and its launch was the leveling experience. The story was strong.
Sure.
And this was something that I think was brought up on Nibber Podcasting, including yours, and it's been brought up here before as well. But that experience of going from 110 to 120 wasn't entirely what I expected it to be. I found myself, and perhaps it's partially due to playing Shadow Priest or playing a spec that wasn't necessarily performing at the top of its game at the time, but I found that the content was getting, even though stuff was scaling to me in level, while stuff was scaling in level, it felt like I was getting weaker as I was moving up in level, and that just felt awkward for me. And that's been brought by a few people before. I haven't really done much out-leveling in like questing experience to really say if that's been fixed or changed. I know that they've changed right. leveling for like 1 to 100 and such like that, but did you encounter a similar experience in your early times in Battle for Azeroth?
Yeah, kind of. And I think, didn't they address that in the first month or two of everything?
There was a hot fix for it to a degree, yeah.
Yeah, and because they were talking about armor, or actually power versus level, and how the power scaling was different for your leveling experience. And they were trying to keep it fairly even, but it ended up, like, the math was wrong or something. I don't know exactly what happened. So then what they did was they went through and they said, okay, you know what? Mobs, you're going to hit a little less hard. You're going to have a little bit less armor, because if you're scaling with the person, we don't want you scaling evenly with the people. We want them to feel like they're more powerful, like they're doing something with their lives, like they're actually accomplishing stuff.
Because like now Azeroth stuff is actually doing its job.
Right. And so they did do a hot fix on that, which is good. And yeah, I think you're right. The leveling experience wasn't lackluster, because I mean, there was the lovely part about the leveling experience and kind of onward has been that the story has been really compelling.
Oh yeah, especially on Horde side, the Zandalar story was great, and I know right. on Alliance, I've heard a lot of good stuff from the Alliance story.
Yeah, I mean there was a lot of stuff on the Alliance side that I really loved. There was quite a number of things on the Horde side that I really loved. Zandalar was one of them, and kind of going around to all of those different places was pretty phenomenal overall. And especially when you add in things like the cutscenes, all of the different cutscenes that they've had in this expansion, and all of the other things, even going back to like the Warbringers cinematics and stuff like that, all of the different story that they brought in over the course of since like building up to Battle for Azeroth has been just stellar, and you can tell through the development cycle that we're not anywhere close to being done yet. Right. Especially if you've done the Darkshore stuff lately and have kind of gone through that storyline a little bit on either side, it doesn't really matter. You can tell that this story still has a long ways to go.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you mentioned some of that stuff just a few moments ago, because one thing I had entirely kind of forgot about, because we haven't seen as much of it lately, while the BFA is actually going on. But that lead up to BFA was incredible, in that the team was using several different forms of media to tell a story. And I remember Taron Gregory talking about his excitement for it, and he loved how he had mentioned that things that were happening, they were doing something with the story that they had never really done before. And that was kind of building up to the moments of those pre-expansion events, where you have the payoff with Jaina's ship, which was actually her father's ship. You have that as a payoff, because it was risen up in the Warbringers thing, attacking, you know, Lordaeron and such. And that was a story and moments that were told across the Warbringers thing, through novels, through Before the Storm with Christy Golden, and just all those different forms of media. It's really funny that I enjoyed that diversity of storytelling all over the place in areas that were happening outside of the game, because I totally remember a past version of myself 3 or 4 years ago that would always complain about, why are they telling the story outside of the game instead of inside of the game? This year, I'm all for it.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of a switch. And I think that everybody 3 or 4 years ago, or at least a lot of people 3 or 4 years ago, when they first started doing more with kind of outside media, just kind of in general, I think there was a little bit of pushback. Not a lot, because I mean, we were still kind of enjoying it, but we were like, come on, just give it to us in game. I want to experience all the story in game that I possibly can. And now that, I mean, especially for those folks that are a little bit busier than they were 3 or 4 years ago, or at the beginning of this game, when you started 14 years ago, now you're a little bit busier. You have a little bit different lifestyle. And now you're like going, oh yeah, you know what? I really appreciate that they're doing stuff on YouTube, because then I can go watch the Jaina cinematic and be all kind of feel, you know, get the nostalgia and the feels back and kind of figure out where their story's going and get excited for what's to come. So it's kind of I think it's more good than weird that they're doing stuff outside.
Oh yeah, the storytelling has definitely been an improvement. I mean, as good a story as Legion told back then in like the leveling experience and stuff, the Legion story was more like a whole bunch of different smaller stories, and there was an overall theme of, we're going to take the fight to the Burning Legion. Whereas this story in Battle for Azeroth, because it's Horde versus Alliance, and because a lot of the story is dealing with primary characters that we have known for years, that combined with just the many different ways that they're telling the story, this storytelling experience feels more personal. It feels more engaging to me.
Right.
And that's surprising considering how much I praised Legion's storytelling for the whole class hall experience. And I thought, oh, there's no way they can top the class hall experience from Legion. I feel like they did. The only difference with BFA is we're all getting that same story, and they're not dividing it up 12 different ways for all the classes to see individually, but we're getting a unified story, but I think it's a stronger told one for it.
Well, and part of it, like you said, was because we are dealing with characters that we've known for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And whereas Legion was like, I mean, he had Gul'dan, which was fine. Legion can have Gul'dan. That's the, you know, whatever. But when you're dealing with the Legion, that's kind of like a faceless entity in a lot of ways. We know that they're bad. We understand that they're evil and they're only out to hurt us. And so we can just go and fight them. But when we're having to deal with these different connections that we already know about in game, and you can talk about Horde leaders and Alliance leaders that actually kind of get along, and now they're having to really fight against each other and figure out where their allegiances are. That's kind of an interesting thing. And now we're talking about how both sides are trying to fight each other and yet still kind of figure out what the real problem is.
Yeah. Anyways. I really want to see, I want to see them do more with Anduin for the Alliance and Bane on the Horde. I want to see them meet in game during some awkward moment and see how that plays out.
Right. And Bane and like all the kind of the different leaders of the Horde and how they kind of interact with the Alliance. I mean, it's just kind of fascinating. So,
right. And not only that, but now in 8.1 recent events, you have Anduin letting Saurfang go in that great cinematic, right, that we saw at BlizzCon. Those cinematics, Old Soldier and Lost Honor, those two cinematics were highlights of the entire year for me as far as Warcraft goes. They're just another example of how they're stepping their game up.
Absolutely. But I have a question for you, Ro. Okay. And that is this. Has there been too much Saurfang or just enough Saurfang?
I feel like there's enough Saurfang right now that, like, it feels to me that we're on a journey where the obvious answer is going to be something's going to happen before the end of the expansion, and Sarfang's going to be the new leader. It feels like that's the setup. Now, that
or the other way, where you have this big long setup with Sarfang kind of at the center of it, and then Sarfang is not the leader for reasons in which he may be disappeared.
Right. So the interesting thing about that is what I'm expecting is Sarfang's going to end up being the new war chief, because a lot of people feel like, oh, we've seen this before when good old Gary was war chief and they subtly planting clues for Vol'jin. And then next thing you know, at the end of the expansion, Vol'jin's a new war chief, which is a cool moment. So a lot of people feel like, oh, here we are on that road again. But like you, I think I'm hoping that they're guiding us to make us feel that we're going that way, and then something really different is going to happen and make us go, what? Kind of like that Illidan moment in Legion where the Naru tries to make Illidan this warrior of light, and Illidan's like, no, F you, and Illidan right. kills the Naru.
Right, right. Well, and something, so one of the things that I thought of while I was playing through the Darkshore stuff, the most recent Darkshore stuff, is that, you know, there is a possibility that one of the Valkyr could try, you know, like maybe Sarfang falls somehow. And then one of the Valkyr tries to raise him up, and then there's like this weird struggle there. Who knows? We're seeing kind of all of these different little ideas kind of bounce around in the ether here, and so it's kind of fun to think about all of these different characters once again in a new light, like Sylvanas, like Sarfang, like Anduin, and Jaina as well is another big one, and Gen for that matter. So I mean, you have all of these great characters kind of laid out there, and they all have their own deep backstory, and you have all of these new things that are kind of entering into your forethought because we're doing new things with these characters, right? I mean, we now have the Night Warrior of Tyrande, so it's pretty cool to see how these characters have changed and grown over the course of, yes, WoW's lifespan, but also just in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
All this stuff has gone through, has happened, and it's been incredible. And I can't wait to see where we are in just another couple of months.
I mean, after the events of the raid that's coming up in January, the aftermath of that, I imagine, is going to leave people with a lot of questions and a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings because that's a big, even though this technically didn't happen in 2018, since it's been announced and since we know it's going to happen, I think this whole idea of a raid instance where it is Alliance versus Horde is pretty revolutionary and pretty crazy. I mean, you might say that, well, Warfronts are kind of like Alliance versus Horde raids. And yeah, that I would say that's true too, to a point, but using actual gearing system for a raid and stuff like that, making it so like it's a legit raid where as a Horde character, you're going up against, you know, Alliance themed bosses and such. And yeah, you'll play the other side to do the other encounters and such. But I feel that this was a direction I never expected that they would go with raid content. And it's, if you were to ask me the thing that I'm excited for the most about 2019, and the thing that kind of excited me the most about 2018 was just hearing this announcement that that Horde versus Alliance thing, it's going to be involved in raiding as well, which is kind of cool. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, no, that I think that was really a really great idea that I don't think went far enough personally, only because I kind of would like to have a separation of what the Alliance raid is versus the Horde raid. I mean, I'm just kind of more
raid for each faction. No, you see, that's what I'm hoping for is like their next step. And there are people that are going to complain about the World First race for that. But I would love to see a world of Warcraft where the Alliance have their own raid and the Horde has their own raid. And if you want to play both raids, roll an alt. It's okay.
Right, exactly. Well, and that would be really great. And I think that it would be even more awesome if they could just keep it, the entire raid to one storyline instead of, I mean, because in this one, we're going to be jumping into the opposite faction a little bit for three bosses. And it basically has the same layout as far as the when you're going to be facing these bosses.
Right.
And so to me, that doesn't fit the timeline. So it kind of messes up the timeline for me. So I'm kind of like, well, it would be nice to actually just follow. Like if you're playing the Horde, you have to follow them in and realize that the Alliance are attacking. And so then you have to go into battle and you have to face them. And then you have to follow them down to the docks and make sure that they're all dead or run away or whatever. So it'd be nice to just do that one kind of arc. I understand why they're doing it this way. I mean, it's the first time that they're doing something like this. So, of course, they don't want to go too far.
Yeah, I think they wanted to have a raiding experience where the end boss, whatever it is a unified experience for everyone, so that the mythic race has a definite similar conclusion for all people participating in that. If you do two separate raids, then obviously, or even if you structure the raid where as the Horde, you do all the Horde focused stuff and then you can do the three Alliance encounters disguised as the Alliance and vice versa for the Alliance. That would mean if you structured it that way, each faction would have a final boss.
Right.
And right. I don't think the dev team was ready to present the raid to us in that way yet. I'm hoping that they'll give that some thought for future raids.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I'd really enjoy that quite a bit, but I understand why they're not doing it. I totally get it. They've never, it's hasn't happened before. Your first, you know, when you first put your toe into the water, you don't want to, you know, put your whole leg in there because it might get bit off, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's understandable.
Absolutely. As far as the whole year goes for you, your time that you've spent in game with your guild mates and everyone in CTR, and this can also include stuff like BlizzCon and such, as far as everything pertains to Warcraft, what would you say have been one or two highlights of 2018 for you?
Oh boy. I mean, we talked about the cinematics, and the cinematics have been kind of a thing for me. This expansion in particular, the story has been fantastic. As far as kind of life with the game goes, I mean, IRL with the game goes, BlizzCon is always one of those things that just stands out for me. And even though like this year was different for myself, because I didn't have a party that I was hosting at BlizzCon, but it was still like one of those things where it's like I was so busy I didn't really miss it too much. other I didn't miss putting it together. I mean, I missed seeing everybody all in one place where I could just kind of walk around and go hi to whatever group and just have this giant conversation. But I mean, that's kind of BlizzCon for me anyway.
Yeah,
just going up to a group of people and saying hi, what are you talking about, and jumping in. So BlizzCon is always major, major highlight for me, no matter what. Man, I'm trying to think of like some really juicy tidbits or whatever, but, I think that I've just really enjoyed Legion. I've enjoyed, Battle for Azeroth. I really have. And have there been some hiccups? Sure. I think that's okay. And, you know, other than that, it's been a cool ride for me. So I'm pretty happy with the state of the game. I understand that, you know, not everything is up to snuff. And now we're starting to see, we're starting to feel the development cycle right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because now with 8.2 coming up and they're changing the way Azerite's going to work and everything like that, people are like going, oh, finally. And I'm like going, it's only been 6 months, guys. They really didn't know that this was a problem until, you know, like four or five months ago, where they were like, oh, this is a real problem. Okay, we got to change it. So now we're starting to feel the development cycle. But the nice part is they're not giving up on the story. They're not giving up on the expansion like they did with the Warlords of Draenor, right?
Right.
So they're not giving up on that stuff. They're saying, guess what, guys? There's more to come. There's more story. There's more interesting story. And the systems, I think the systems are okay. So I'm having a good time.
Yeah, I have had a great time myself. I would say to kind of echo your response, BlizzCon, of course, a big highlight for me for a multitude of reasons.
Absolutely.
That moment at the WoW Q&A where I asked the first question for the third year in a row.
Right.
And, but that was the cool. Opening act of Chris Metzen?
That's awesome.
That was crazy. I think the energy in that room when he was there and asking, when's the Horde going to get its war chief back? Just that magic, that electricity there, it was reminding me of BlizzCon opening ceremonies of old when he would be on stage, you know, hyping up the game and such. And yes, those moments aren't likely to return in anywhere near the frequency that they did back then. But just that moment in itself was probably the singular feels good man moment of BlizzCon, just having him back there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, BlizzCon in general, the announcements this year were a little lackluster. I mean, we did get the Warcraft 3 announcement, which was really cool. We found out some more stuff about what's going to be happening for Battle for Azeroth and with Classic and other games. And some good, some not so great, but you know, it was a little lackluster with announcements. But yes, I think that something like that, where you can point to one moment, especially for you, because that was so cool to lead into to Metzen, which was awesome. And I knew that it was going to happen too, or at least I understood that it might happen the day before, mm-hmm. and I was like, going, oh, that would be so cool. It'd be so cool if Metzen would come up there and ask a question. That would be great.
One of these times I need to talk to Scott and find out like just the whole story behind that thing, because I know he had a hand in making it happen.
Oh yeah. Cause I was talking with Scott, beforehand or the day before, and he was saying that Metzen was there just kind of, you know, sometimes he'll like before he would go with a hoodie or something like that and try to disguise himself a little bit. And this year he was like, nope, I'm just walking around like a normal guy. And so Scott was like, hey, you should ask a question. Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Looking ahead, kind of like in these last few minutes, looking ahead to 2019, we have Battle for Dazar'alor. We have that big raid coming up. The things that we've been teased at BlizzCon are things like, you know, that that Mechanome dungeon that'll be coming in 8.2.
The mega dungeon, yeah.
The mega dungeon. The mega Mechanome dungeon. We're going to have Nazjatar, which is not going to be underwater. It's not going to be another Vashir. It's
right.
The artwork for it looks great. The concept art that they showed off looks amazing.
It looks killer. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your predictions, hopes, dreams for WoW in 2019?
Well, I hope that their fix to Azerite armor is a true fix and helps people kind of stop being so kind of hurt about that system just in general. That's the one system where you look at it and you go, yeah, you know what? That really didn't work out as great as you had hoped. Maybe just tweaking that would be great. But I really hope that they introduce ways that you can get a little closer to the story, to the action. We've already been pretty close to it, and so it feels really good, the story part of it, especially if you've gone through the Darkshore stuff recently.
It feels
like you are a part of the action and you are important, which is really great. So I hope they do more of that, more with player agency, like what we talked about at BlizzCon was picking sides between Sour Fang and Sylvanas. And
I want to see the Alliance get some player agency moments too. Not that everything,
sure.
And I mean, everything may seem all sunshine and rainbows with the Alliance to a degree, but Tyrande, Malfurion, especially in this patch, are kind of showing that they're a little restless, they're a little impatient, and they don't necessarily want to go by Anduin's, you know, steady paced method way of doing things. They want to take action. They want to do it now because they want to have vengeance. So I want to see, especially on the Alliance side, I want players to experience and understand that while the Horde has its own little divisions and friction and drama going on, that can happen on the Alliance too.
Right. And like you said, there is a rift between Anduin and basically all of the Night Elves. Mm-hmm. And even again, Greyman, he decides to go off with and help the Night Elves out, because guess what? The Night Elves helped out all of the Worgen when they were
for years. Yeah,
for a long, long time. And so we are seeing a little bit of a rift, and it would be nice if they could play into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Either with some sort of reputation thing or some sort of, I don't know exactly how you would do it. It's not a huge thing. It's not like a big drama, but maybe if you spent your time more helping the Night Elves, maybe you would lose reputation with something over here, or some kind of favor with kind of the SI7 stuff, and then, or vice versa. So that would be kind of nice to be able to play it kind of like that. I don't know. I mean, there are lots of different options. So yeah. I'm really intrigued by story right now, because I am kind of wrapped up with Sylvanas and trying to figure out, you know, because people are screaming about this stuff. They're screaming about Sylvanas and Sorrowfang and kind of the way that the whole thing works together. So in the next couple of months, next few months, next 6 months, mm-hmm. we'll have a better handle on that story, and we'll be able to say, was it justified that I got so irate back in November about everything that was happening with Sylvanas, or what? I don't know.
Yeah, so, morally gray.
Right. Supposedly, yeah.
Right. One thing that I'm hoping for, and this may seem like kind of a minor thing, but it's actually funny enough, this was like one of the questions that I wanted to ask at the Warcraft Q&A, and I ended up asking a different one, but I want the war fronts to matter. And
yeah.
I mean, by that, I mean, I went there in 2019 to be a conclusion to the Stromguard war front. I think that having two war fronts up right now is great, and I think two's the max we need, so that at any given time, maybe the Alliance has something to do and the Horde has something to do with different phases and two war fronts. I think that's great. I would like to see kind of a rotation where the Stromguard thing finishes up, and from a story perspective, we find out, okay, who won that one? Who,
right.
And find out, have it have a lasting impact, and find out, you know, which faction actually won that as far as the story and that goes. And then have that war front no longer be part of, you know, the normal queue. Maybe have some sort of Time Walker way to revisit it at some point, but sure. Have it off the normal cycle. And eventually have the same thing happen to Darkshore once we've had a couple new war fronts cycle in. I know that a lot of people talked about what if there's the Crossroads or a war front because of like its strategic positioning between Orgrimmar and everything and the Tauren and all that. Like the Crossroads should be a battlefront, a war front, and I'd love to see that. But I don't know if I can really predict what war fronts we're going to get in 2019, because I'll tell you what, Darkshore surprised the heck out of me. And I feel like whatever new war fronts we get in 2019, if any, I think they're going to be equally surprising.
Yeah. And if you've played through the Darkshore war front, actually, I will say that the story has been, it's better. It's mm-hmm. better than the Stromguard stuff, right? Yes. So it's because you just go through and you attack positions, and you're going forward, and it's like you're really in a fight, which is cool. So I really like the story aspect of the war fronts, and I think they've gotten better. And I think you're right. I think finding out who actually wins this stuff would be great. And it can, it can change. That's fine.
And change hands would be awesome. Because it feels then, like the world's evolving.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that would be really nice to be able to retire some of these war fronts and then have them be, you know, claimed by somebody. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think that would be, I think that would be awesome. So,
and, aside from that, I love to see, and they've gotten some love in 8.1, and I've played some Island Expedition since 8.1 launched, and Island Expeditions have been a big thing I've campaigned for and I've loved, and I seem to be one of the few people who love them. but I've enjoyed Island Expeditions. I want to see them do more with them, and they've talked about doing things where, you know, you may have, what if we did an Island Expedition where it wasn't necessarily all about attacking, but there was a far bigger focus on the exploration aspects. I want them to do some new and interesting things with Island Expeditions, build on the changes that they've made in 8.1. They've made some positive progress. I will say that, and I've talked to a few people who've done them with me in 8.1. It's like, is this something you think you do more often? And they say, oh yeah, it's a much better thing now. I'm hoping that they don't just settle on where they're at with islands right now. And I want to see that improve later on in the year, because that's just, that's the kind of short get in, get out content that I can just eat up anytime. Even if I have a really busy work day where I get home and I don't have maybe more than a half hour to play WoW, I can just hop in, play an expedition or two and be happy.
Right. And I don't even think that it's necessarily a better rewards thing for Island Expeditions. I think it's just kind of more like more personally rewarding for going in there and doing something cool. Either give me a story or make it otherwise cool for me to be in there and do stuff, because I mean the reward is fine. The reward seems to be okay. But I would like something just something a little bit more out of Island Expeditions.
You know, they have these quest item drops. I don't know if you've come across any where you'd have to bring the quest item drop from an Island Expedition to some place out in the world, and you get a big chunk of Azerite for it. And there's a little nugget of story and information about what's going on in Azeroth as this war is taking place. And I know that Rathion is actually tied to the quest item that involves if you get something with a black dragonflight. I'd love to see them kind of expand on that a little more. I guess one thing I'd like to see, and we saw this in Legion a lot with like our class hall experiences, where the story of the class hall and the class campaign was taking us to areas of the world that we haven't visited for in years, and doing stuff in zones that we haven't had any good reason to go to for quite some time. We see a little bit of that in the war campaign, and we're going to see more of it in 8.1. I'm not going to give too many spoilers, but I know we're revisiting places that we haven't been to in a long time with some of this war campaign stuff in 8.1. I want to see them continue on that and build on that, because the more they improve their storytelling by remembering where we came from and remembering that the characters and places of all of Azeroth have an impact on the story as a whole, I think that's really important. I guess, Pat, what it kind of boils down to, at least for you and I, is that compared to where we've been as players and as raiders, I think 2018 and very likely 2019, the story has just taken a very huge priority, I feel, for both of us.
It's weird, right? Because, I mean, when I first started Convert to Raid, I didn't give a crap about the story. Mm-hmm. I was all about the raid, right? and
all about
now
the loot.
Yeah, exactly. I was all about the purples. Come on, give it to me. And so so from there, we went through, we did all this raiding. And yeah, sure. I mean, there was story along the way and it was cool and it was fun and all that kind of stuff. But this one seems to be more story centric than any other expansion that I have been through. So that to me means that World of Warcraft is doing its job.
Yeah.
They're keeping my attention. They're making sure that I want to play the game to figure it out more. And yeah, sure. I mean, some things along the way might not be the best, but I am very interested in finding out what happens in this soap opera that is Battle for Azeroth. And I can't wait to get more.
Final question, and yeah, making a big call for a prediction here. What is Sylvanas's fate in 2019?
Ooh, so I don't think, because the developers have said that she's not Garrosh Garry 2.0, mm-hmm, that we'll take them at their word for it. Not going to be Garry 2.0. What does that mean? I think that means that she finds a way. She finds a way through. And what that means for the Horde, I don't know. Or you know, the undead. I don't know if there's going to be a rift there that will just kind of open up because of all the things that are going on. But she finds a way through. And I don't think she's going to be a raid boss. Not yet. Not in Battle for Azeroth. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the next expansion, like just after it starts.
Is she the Gul'dan of this expansion? No.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
I do not believe that Sylvanas is going to perish. I do not think that she is going to be a raid boss. I do feel that by the end of 2019, or maybe just overall by the end of the expansion, we don't know time-wise if the last big patch will happen, but before the end of 2019, I would imagine this next BlizzCon may have the announcement of the next expansion. But
right,
all that said, I think Sylvanas is going to be unseated as War Chief. I do feel that's going to happen. And I think that going forward in the story, Sylvanas will have more of a gray Illidan-esque role where she's not a big bad, but she's definitely not a hero either. She's someone with her own agenda and her own way of doing things, and we're going to interact with her at some point in the future. Her story's far from being done, but I don't think she's going to be the War Chief of the Horde by the end of Battle for Azeroth or by the end of 2019. As far as the new War Chief goes, my heart wants Thrall. Brain says Sarfang, but a different part of me, and I don't know what part of that is, I'll have to think of that. I think it's something else. It's probably Bane is what I'm thinking. I feel like the whole Sarfang thing feels too predictable. It feels like they're building Sarfang up to be War Chief, which makes me think that that's a red herring. I feel like something's going to happen to Sarfang that we're just not expecting. I don't know if he's going to die. I don't know if something else is going to happen. But I think we're going to get a major curveball, and I don't know what it is.
Well, if he dies, it will be a good death. He deserves that after the last couple of cinematics. You know that that's what he's going for.
Yeah.
He's going for an honorable death. And I think that if he is killed off, he will get that.
Yes.
The other thing is, I don't think that he will be War Chief only because he is a good soldier. He's not necessarily the best at strategy or anything like that, but he is a good fighter and a good... He is a good follower of other people's rule.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to be War Chief either. So
I want to say Bane, because with Bane, if anyone can maintain a somewhat uneasy peace between the Alliance and the Horde, at least for a short while with Anduin, it's going to be Bane. I think Bane is about the only War Chief that the Alliance would accept.
Can we agree that Nathanos is going to die, though? Can we agree that he's done for?
Can he please?
Right.
Even John Jagger has said that he does not like Nathanos.
I think Nathanos needs to die. I think Sylvanas can live on an island, probably an island expedition island, finding Azerite and killing small mobs. The rest of her days would be fine. Bane, maybe. But the resurrected body of Vol'jin. How about that?
Hey, you know what? Oh, there's a crazy thought. If Vol'jin is resurrected and he's basically a Forsaken, then
Forsaken
that's still,
troll.
He what if Vol'jin leads the Forsaken and also leads the Horde? That's crazy. Oh, wow. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. Pat, it has been outstanding having you here on the second anniversary of the show. There's very few people who I feel could be here for that kind of show, and you've been great being on.
Well, my pleasure, and congratulations once again on 2 years. It's podcasting is a difficult undertaking a lot of times, and especially finding a show that really resonates with you as you go through it. And it's really nice to see that you've stuck with it and you've made it better and better, and that it is where it is today. So congratulations to you and to all the fine listeners out there that are listening to this program right now.
Well, thank you very much. Of course, you do quite a few podcasting things yourself, and I will give you a minute or two to tell listeners all about that as if they don't know already.
Sure. Well, Convert to Raid is the big show, and that's about, yes, it's the Battle.net news that features World of Warcraft and other Blizzard games, but really it's mostly World of Warcraft. Mm. Especially
it is right now.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. It really is. And then I also do Battle.net Sports when the sports side is going. Right now,
is that returning? I was a little curious because it kind of gone on the back burner, it seems.
Yeah, so it went on the back burner because I moved, and then
true.
And then I tried to bring it back, and it kind of schedules were different by the time that I wanted to bring it back, and then BlizzCon happened, and then it went. You know, all the sports stuff just kind of went on a hiatus. I'm trying to figure it out for moving into...
I think Overwatch League is going to be a good time to bring it back.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's going to be interesting because now with the heroes, with HGC no longer there, there's some stuff to figure out. So yeah. we'll see what's going on with that, but that's the plan.
Sure.
And I also have been toying with other ideas as we go into 2019 that I am going to keep to myself so that I don't ruin people's expectations of what's to come. But some other stuff is on the back burner as well.
Awesome. And how can they find you as far as social media and all that great stuff?
Pat Crane with a K pretty much anywhere, or Convert to Raid on Twitter, converttoraid.com. That is the other thing. And you can check it all out there.
Awesome. Well, of course, folks, you can follow this show on Twitter at RestartCast. You can follow myself at RoWow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. And I do a couple other podcasts, Realm Maintenance, if you're looking for other podcasts that cover Blizzard games, whether it's WoW, Hearthstone, or all that stuff. Hearth Casual, if you are a Hearthstone fan that loves the more casual aspect that Hearthstone has to offer. I know that Kevin Ellis and I are going to be talking a lot about the Rumble Run over the next couple of episodes. I'm really psyched to be talking about that.
Hold on a sec. I need to find out right now. Yes. So good or bad?
Rumble
for
one?
You? Yeah.
Okay. It is equal parts amazing and frustrating. It is the most fun I have had in Hearthstone and the most frustration I've had in Hearthstone at the same time.
Bingo. Thank you for sharing my idea. We share a brain on that one. Good.
Yes. I've yet to complete a single run. I've seen other people get to 8 bosses and defeat them multiple times. I'm like, how?
Right. I can't get past the number 2 guy sometimes. It's weird.
4 and 5. It's like boss 4, boss 5 tends to be my end all the time. Yeah. I've only gotten to the final boss once, and that freaking rogue cheated. Oh my gosh.
Of course. They're rogues.
But if you want to hear more about that, check out Hearth Casual. And of course, all these shows are part of Realm Maintenance Productions. You can support everything that I'm doing with all 3 shows by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. And that will do it for the show and for Rolling Restart in 2018. I'm looking forward to a lot of great shows in 2019. There's a lot of Warcraft to be talked about in that year. And I feel like 2019 is going to be a stronger year, not just for Warcraft, but for this show and many other podcasts in the community as well. Pat, again, thank you for being on. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure to be here, and thank you.
All right, well, until next time, folks, I've been Ro, he's been Pat, and we now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.